going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and WHUR. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The move to ban vaping and the sale of some e-cigarette products is moving incredibly fast this week. Just hours ago, Warner Media, owner of CNN and TBS and TNT, as well as the CBS network, have dropped all e-cigarette advertising. Also today, Michigan followed New York's lead in banning flavored products. Locally, the Montgomery County Council introduced a bill to ban vaping sales within 1/2 mile of middle and high schools. And just an hour ago, or less, the D.C. Health Department is advising D.C. residents to stop using e-cigarettes. Yesterday, two bills were introduced to curb the sales of e-cigarettes and the flavored products. All of this coming after 7 vaping-related deaths this year, some of those over the past month. We're talking about this. What is going on with vaping and e-cigarettes? Joining me to talk about this are Dr. Carla Williams, Interim Director of the Howard University Cancer Center, Dr. Raquel Weich, Greater Washington American Heart Association Board President and Cardiologist with the MedStar Heart and Vascular Institute, and Gregory Conley, President of the American Vaping Association. Want to hear from you about this tonight. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Thank you all for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Gregory, let me start with you. What, from your perspective, is going on right now as it relates to your industry?
Unfortunately, America is in the grips of a moral panic at the moment, and history shows us that good policy rarely follows moral panics. So you have people that are taking advantage of illnesses and deaths that are being very conclusively linked to contaminated THC oil cartridges, and they are using that to enact prohibition on a product that has helped about 3 million American adults quit smoking. And it's not just this idea that, oh, if we just get rid of flavors, all the vapors, all the smokers, they'll just flock to the tobacco flavor. That's not how this works. The most popular flavors, not only with adults, but with ex-smokers, the people that the FDA says they have fully switched and they have greatly benefited their health, in the words of former FDA Commissioner Scott Gottlieb. Those vapors, the vast majority of them are using flavors that will be banned under all of these policies being considered by different states.
Do you believe that vaping is a safe alternative to cigarette tobacco?
No. No product that contains nicotine, including the nicotine gum or patch, is safe. But what matters when there are 480,000 people dying every year from smoking and about 50% of U.S. smokers on the trajectory to smoke until it is too late, until they've contracted a smoking disease or are too late to stop it from progressing, harm reduction is an option for those smokers who will not or cannot quit nicotine altogether. The Royal College of Physicians, Public Health England, Cancer Research UK, many respected established organizations with no connection to the tobacco industry or e-cigarette industry, they've estimated vaping to be at least 95% less dangerous than smoking. And that, for them, is a worst-case scenario based off of over 10 years of extensive data.
Do you agree with that, Dr. Williams?
My comment will start with the fact that these are not approved ways to quit smoking. They're not designed for quitters. They're an option, but I want to make clear that this is not what we would consider a smoking cessation device. So I want to make that clear. And there are so many unknowns about these products because they really have not had enough lifespan in the public use for us to start to see the kinds of illnesses that are occurring. So we don't know enough about them. And so I think we need to take caution at this point and step back and see what's going on so that we can give rational solutions.
Here's my question. In full transparency, and my listeners know this, I'm an ex-smoker. I smoked for 20 years. In college, I smoked 3 packs a day. I quit on November 13th of 2001. haven't gone back. Don't do the cigar bars. I don't do any of that stuff. Never, vaping wasn't around when I quit, and don't know how I would have reacted to that. And yet, I guess the thing that I find so concerning about this is that lung cancer, and I'm no doctor, we have doctors here. If you contract lung cancer and you die as a result of lung cancer, it does not kill you right away. It takes years. However, we have had, connected to vaping, 7 deaths, and this month, some of them where people have been, it's happened after they started smoking or vaping, I should say, over a period of months. What is your thought, Dr. Weitch, about what is killing these people from your perspective?
Well, the exact cause really has not been determined thus far. Mm-hmm. So there is no single product or additive that has been attributed to the outbreak, but we're continuing to investigate. So the CDC and also the FDA are working with local state health departments to try and figure out exactly what is the cause of the epidemic. But to this point, we're not really sure.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, when you talk about the CDC, Gregory, and so let's be, you know, really honest. There have also been children that have been impacted by this in vaping for the first time. They've been sent to hospitals. Help me understand what is vaping?
Sure. So first, let's be clear. What multiple state health departments have warned about, as well as our own FDA, is illicit THC oil cartridges. People getting high from street dealers, from drug dealers that are filling up the cartridges. There have been multiple arrests just over the past week of these drug dealers, Utah, Wisconsin, running full-scale drug operations, filling up these cartridges illegally. And those are most definitively linked to, in the New England Journal of Medicine article, 84% of patients in Wisconsin and Illinois admitted to vaping THC and other emergency room doctors.
But are they related to these 7 deaths, though? I think there's still some question about the clarity of what has actually killed these people.
Of the 7 deaths, 3, you have had health departments or family members come out and say they were vaping THC. The other 4, we just have 0 information. But when we know that multiple state health departments are specifically warning, because the vast 90% plus of their cases have people admitting, and that's only admitting. You have, of course, with young people, teenagers, young adults, you're going to have people reluctant to admit they're vaping anything. But that's what multiple state health departments and the FDA are warning about. That's what people need to hear about. Yes, if you are not a smoker, don't vape. If you are a young person, don't vape anything. But if you're going to make a mistake in your life and do something, people need to know, especially young people. There's one product out there that is sending people to the hospital with lungs and with tubes in their throats after 1 day of use. And it's not, they shouldn't be using nicotine vaping products, but it is the THC oil cartridges bought off the streets that are sending people to the hospital after 1 single day.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about vaping, about e-cigarettes, about the surge of proposed bans and all-out bans by state governments, municipalities, and the like. What do you think? Are you a vapor? Are you an ex-smoker? I want to hear what you think about it. Again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Dr. Williams, do you believe that vaping causes cancer, or has it just not been around long enough for us to know?
There's so many unknowns about this that we want to get the message out, a few clear messages that, first of all, our concern is around young people. These products are designed in a way that they entice young people, teenagers. Teenagers are always going to gravitate to something new, something different, and the marketing of these, just the design, the way that they're flavored, entices young people to these. So this is our core concern, is the young people that are picking these up. Now, to your question as to what's going to happen long term, we do not know. Think about the history of tobacco in this country. Over 100 years of commercial tobacco use before the Surgeon General's report of 1964, linking tobacco to multiple illnesses. So do we want to wait another 100 years to get that answer? Do people want to be in that test group? So we're just saying, let's take a rational look and see if just the product that you're using and inhaling something into your lungs that is pretty much unknown, is that the choice you want to make?
There's plenty known.
I agree, Dr. Williams, but in I fully agree with what you're saying. And 1 in 4 high school age students now report that they have vaped. 1 in 4. So they are very, it's very attractive. It's small. It's easy to conceal. You don't get as much of a smell as you do with cigarettes. And so it is definitely a trend, and we're seeing significant increases every year. So there's a 135% increase in the number of teens and adolescents just over the past year who vape. And that is the most popular tobacco product that is used by teens. And we already know 90% of people who are full-time or long-term smokers first try a tobacco product by the age of 18. So if you have never tried anything tobacco-related by the age of 26, most likely you never will. But these adolescents will go on 90% of the time to use full tobacco products.
Gregory, you were about to say something.
Thank you. First, no. The reductions in cancer-causing chemicals that you find in the bodies of vapors, not according to tobacco or e-cigarette industry studies, but according to real groups like Cancer Research UK, you find that the carcinogens in the blood, compared to smokers, 2 to 3 magnitudes less. You're talking 99% reductions in exposure to carcinogens. So no, the product is not safe, and if you are not a smoker, if you're not a tobacco user, there's no reason to begin using nicotine. But we need to send clear messages to adult smokers that if you are not successfully able to just get off nicotine entirely, if you tried the patch, the gum, the lozenges, and you failed time and time again, there are options out there, and you shouldn't believe hype and media scare stories that actually succeed only in keeping adult smokers smoking. And one quickly other point, with regard to youth vaping, no youth should vape, but just as youth should not smoke cigarettes, drink alcohol, or use marijuana, the usage rates past 30 days for marijuana as well as for alcohol are not that different than for past 30-day use of vaping.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about vaping. We're talking about e-cigarettes and the groundswell of movements by municipalities, by states, and even some countries, India and China, banning or curbing the sale of e-cigarette products. This information, of course, coming out today that India banning e-cigarettes.
Two great public health-focused countries that own their own tobacco companies,
yeah,
by the way.
I think your point is well taken, which, and to that point, we know the problems that China, and I should say specifically Beijing, have with smog and the other things. But if the Chinese government is concerned about the effects of lung-related illness in a place where it's hard to breathe anyway, that there's some kind of message being sent. And I wanted to ask you, you know, one an ex-smoker to another. Did you smoke cigarettes?
I did. I was a very, very dedicated smoker.
So did you try to quit?
Many times.
And then did you just immediately switch over to vaping? And
so what happened was in 2009, when the products were brand new, I tried one of the very early generation products. They only came back then in tobacco flavor. And didn't work. Went back to smoking very quickly, put it in a drawer. But then I knew if the technology was allowed to progress, people would get off cigarettes and save their life with the product. So about 1 year later, August 2010, when I was in law school at Rutgers in New Jersey, I bought a melon-flavored vapor product, and that is what actually made me disconnect from the taste of smoking, and 9 years later, haven't had a cigarette.
Help me understand what is inside the apparatus.
Sure.
of an e-cigarette. You see the commercials and it looks like, you know, C-3PO or something like that.
Yes.
So what goes into that?
So the basic idea is smokers smoke for the nicotine, but they die from the tar. The smoke is what contains all the 4,000 chemicals and dozens of carcinogens, not the nicotine. And so if you can deliver nicotine in a form that mimics smoking without combustion, that's how you reduce the carcinogens and chemicals so far. So with vaping, you have 4 ingredients in the liquid. You have propylene glycol. If you've ever gone to a concert, that's fog juice,
okay.
Vegetable glycerin, flavorings, and optional nicotine. And that is the basic setup of most vaping products for nicotine.
Why is there so much vapor. Because as a smoker, even with a deep inhale, I have rarely seen the kind of exhaling with cigarettes that you see with vapor.
It's a very good question. The reason why is that smoke is so noxious that if you attempted to inhale that much smoke into your lungs, you would immediately cough it out and possibly vomit. With vaping products, it's not smoke. And so the people who are blowing big clouds, they have very low amounts of nicotine in their liquid. And so to get a satisfactory puff, you take a large puff. But then there are also products like a Juul. A Juul is very high in nicotine, so it delivers only a tiny amount of vapor.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about e-cigarettes and vaping. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Ashley, calling from Georgia. Thanks for calling, Ashley. What's on your mind?
Hi. First, I wanted to officially thank Mr. Gregg for everything that he's doing for the vape community. But I also wanted to put it out there that I'm 24, pretty much labeling me as one of the youngest millennials. And I fully enjoy the fact that flavors are available to me. And I started smoking at 13. They helped me quit.
Thank you.
So you have quit?
Yes, I have completely. And it's not something that I ever thought would have been possible.
How long have you been off of vaping or cigarettes altogether?
I started vaping January this year. And since then, I've actually moved completely away from any nicotine. I'm on a zero liquid. It's the hand-to-mouth that keeps me from going back to cigarettes, not the nicotine.
Well, let us hope that you continue to stay away from any form of smoking, and certainly congratulations to you. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Austin calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Austin. What's on your mind? Austin, are you there? Give me a call back if you can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are going to take a break, but we want to continue this conversation about vaping, not only the health concerns, but also what this means for the industry, because certainly that is another issue that is quickly cropping up as well. So please give us a call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown, and she is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Again, lines are open, and your phone calls are next at 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about vaping, e-cigarettes, and the attempt by states, cities, and in some cases, businesses that have been giving a lot of pushback to the concerns about the health effects of vaping and e-cigarettes. My guests are Dr. Carla Williams, Interim Director of the Howard University Cancer Center, Dr. Raquel Weitch, Greater Washington American Heart Association Board President and Cardiologist with the MedStar Heart and Vascular Institute, and Gregory Connolly, President of the American Vaping Association. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. If you're having difficulty getting through, please keep trying. I promise I will take as many phone calls on this subject as we can. Let's go to JR calling from Virginia. JR, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? JR, are you there? give me a call back if you can. Let me go to TJ. We've got initials today. TJ calling from Florida. Thanks for calling, TJ. What's on your mind?
Hi, Harold.
Hi.
I've pretty much been following all of these news for the past few weeks, pretty much from the start of summer. And I just want to put my two cents out there. I am 35 years old. I have been smoking for the past 20 years.
Smoking what?
Smoking cigarettes.
Okay.
Analog traditional tobacco cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to smoke Marlboro Lights. And ever since back even in like 2007, 2008, I have tried to quit. I have tried the Nicorette gum. It doesn't do anything. It just makes your jaw really, really sore. The patch makes me itch. The Chantix, it only gave me these like hallucinogenic dreams, and I feel like I am PMSing all the time. I can be the most, you know, like low key cool kind of person, but on Chantix I'm a bitch. It's like, and I don't like that. So where do I go for stress management? I went back to cigarettes. Those cessation methods did not work for me. So I got into the blue cigarettes. First they worked. They were a nice peach schnapp flavor, and great. I have the flavor. I have the nicotine, but they're cigalikes. They still feel like a cigarette, and it's just making me go, this is more expensive. I'll just go back to the regular cigarettes. And the cycle goes on. Now, this year, back in January, my dad, who introduced me and let me have a puff from his vape, from his box mod, it's an open tank. It had, it also had peach schnapps flavor in it. And I said, oh my God, this might be it for me. I did my research. I joined groups. And I read forums, and it's been an eye opener. And it's been seven months now. I have absolutely no desire to go back to cigarettes.
But are you still vaping?
I am vaping, but here's the key. Here's where the smoking cessation part of it can contribute. And I have made lots of friends on Facebook that have used this as a smoking cessation tool. They'd start at 12 milligrams, mm-hmm. 18 milligrams. I started at 6. I wasn't that heavy of a smoker.
So TJ, I hate to interrupt you. We've got a lot of calls on the line, but I want you to wrap up your point because I need to move to some of the calls. Go ahead, finish your point.
Main point is smokers who are dedicated to actually quit smoking would have the flavors to help them get away from the tobacco taste. Taking these away from us is just going to make us either go back to smoking or go make our own, which is not the safest thing, as we've already seen with the illegal THC carts.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Your thoughts about what she's saying, Dr. White?
I think it's interesting that she brings up the flavors, because the flavors of e-cigarettes are actually... they play a significant role in getting adolescents to actually start.
So, as well as adults.
As well as adults. So there was a recent survey that was done by the AHA's Tobacco Center for Regulatory Science, and out of the people surveyed, it was 1,500 people, nearly a third said the flavors were a major reason that they picked up the device. But when they actually surveyed young adults age 18 to 24, they were nearly twice as likely to be motivated to use because of the flavors. And interestingly enough, the caller stated, well, yes, I did stop smoking, but she continues to vape. Vaping has some short-term effects that we know about. We have no idea what the long-term health impacts are going to be. And so stating that continuing to vape is a better idea, well, we are not sure. The data is not out on that.
Then what do you say?
More research is going to have to be done.
Then what do you say to an adult smoker who has switched to vaping and is now scared, but he doesn't believe in himself that he can teen, but he's thinking about, should I go back to smoking or should I continue vaping? What is the advice if that is the choice?
I think that if you are speaking with a health provider who can help you and partner with you.
You're not answering the question, though.
Yes, I am.
No.
I am, if you are with a health provider that can actually partner with you in terms of just quitting tobacco altogether. So there's plenty of medications other than the ones that she mentioned. There's also behavior modification therapy. There's just general smoking cessation counseling that you can get. And if you continue with these efforts, research has shown that this is something that is effective way for stopping tobacco
use. let me say this about quitting smoking too, because I will say, you know, quite honestly, quitting smoking is the most difficult thing that I've ever done.
And 50% won't until it's too late.
But with that said, I did it. And I would argue, and this is debatable, that I did it cold turkey. Now, I did use nicotine gum for 30 days and found that to be more expensive than the cigarettes when at the time that I quit. And so that was the incentive. I will say, and this is not a secret, and if she's listening, she knows my ex-wife said, it's either cigarettes or me. That was plenty of incentive. You want me? You got to get rid of the cigarettes. You know, she was cute, so I got rid of the cigarette. You know, but, you know, all jokes aside, and I said this before. I said, do I still have cravings? Had a craving before we went on the air today. But it's been almost 20 years. I ignore it, and it goes away. And, yeah, there are all kinds of issues regarding it. It does take a great deal of willpower. But to your point, Gregory, you said until it's too late. I made the decision to quit before it was too late. Good. Dr. Williams.
I wanted to make a point about, and I applaud the caller, TJ, and anyone who is trying to quit. We want you to continue to try. And clinicians, doctors, healthcare providers have a responsibility to make sure that we're providing the best care. And sometimes we need to provide more nicotine replacement. So when you give someone a patch, maybe they need something in addition to that, and that's something that we have to educate healthcare providers on, because you could be trying the patch and you could still be in withdrawal. So we know now that we're educating providers that we need to make a better match for that particular individual. And so there are options, and maybe people aren't getting the best options for themselves, but we can do more education around that.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. JR, calling from Virginia. You're back. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you. My biggest question to Greg was, I know that there are, there has been research done in comparison to THC and cigarettes. And from everything that I have gathered on my own, I know it's pretty clear that cigarette use is a little bit worse for you.
Oh, yeah.
THC. So I guess my biggest question for you was, you mentioned earlier in the show that THC cartridges had, or were also, I guess, not obviously not good for you, but posed the same threat and danger as, I guess, e-cigarette cartridges, or
I'll happily explain, because it's actually a very good question.
Right.
The THC is not killing these people or sending them to the hospital. That's why all these cases are only happening in illicit markets, where people are buying them from drug dealers, not from the professional manufacturers in Colorado, Washington, California, etc. What you have happen is these drug dealers, they have a bucket full of THC oil, but they want to cut it down and use thinners or thickeners to then be able to put it in the cartridge. Those things, like vitamin E acetate, is a chemical that was found. That's an oil. And when you inhale oil into the lungs, that can cause lipoid pneumonia. There are no oils in nicotine vaping products. So no, it's not the THC. If you are in a legal market where you can access the products that have been tested, that are regulated by a state government, there's little to no worry other than whatever effects of marijuana you want to believe are true. It's not going, those cartridges aren't going to kill you in a legal market.
Junior, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Charles, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How are you? I just wanted to tell my side of this story. I just, how I quit smoking. And I'm 55, and I smoked for like 30 years straight. And I got the I caught the flu, and I, you know, I was in bed, and I just found myself, I couldn't breathe. So I went in the bathroom and coughed up a whole bunch of stuff. I don't even want to get into it. But after that, I haven't smoked a cigarette in 9 months now. And I have no urge for cigarettes. And I must be one of the fortunate ones. But I just like, I want to apologize to people who I was around that said, you know, because the smell of it, I can't even stand the smell of a cigarette now. And, you know, I just, you know, I would like to apologize to everyone that I smoked around, and they were like, oh man, you need to stop smoking. And, you know, and I guess I'm one of the fortunate ones because I, you know, I have no urge for no cigarette. And my son, I'm trying to get him off of, cause I went over his house and he has a windowsill full of these cartridges and all of the flavors, all kinds of stuff. And he ritually smokes that stuff. And I tried it, you know, I mean, it tastes good, but, you know, it's something I think that's like a gateway to start smoking cigarettes, because he smokes a cigarette every now and again. I was like, man, you need to get off of that stuff, and because it's going to cause you to start smoking. So, I just wanted to tell my part of the story. I guess I'm one of the fortunate ones that, you know, made it this far. I'm 55, and you know, I feel like I can run a marathon now.
Mm. Thank you so much, Charles. I appreciate your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. James, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, James. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm 32 at the moment. I've been a smoker since I was roughly 17, 18, coming out of high school. I started smoking cigarettes. Off and on, and did the you know, experimental smoking marijuana, you know, parties, whatever, but none major, not until I got out of high school and I started working, when I really started smoking cigarettes, like actually smoking cigarettes, like packs. But I was always active. I've always been a basketball player. I played football, played basketball in high school ever since I was younger. But when I got older, I saw the effects of smoking cigarettes on my body, and you know, my reaction time to, like, you know, how fast I was with playing football or playing basketball with my friends and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed a difference over the time. And then I recently, probably when I was 31.
James, let me stop you because I need you to get to your point, please. But make your point.
Yeah. What my point is, I switched to smoking vape products, and my health has been a lot better for me as far as my breathing. I can work out. I can play basketball for long periods of time with no, you know, chest pains or anything like that. So it's been beneficial.
Are you going to try to quit vaping? Okay, so you quit smoke cigarettes, now you're vaping. Are you going to try and quit vaping, or are you going to stick with it?
At the moment, I'm going to stick with it, because for me, it's not the smoking itself. It's the actual, the hand-to-mouth thing. It's the habit of that, and needing something to do, staying active with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that for a lot of other people too that are smokers, it's not necessarily the smoke that they're attracted to, because the smell is what turned me off from the get-go of smoking cigarettes.
Okay, well
my point is that I smoke a flavored tobacco product.
It's mm-hmm.
Juul. I use the mint flavor.
Okay.
Similar to like a...
So, James, again, help me. What's your point? You said your point was that you were smoking mint. So saying is that you believe that vaping is definitely better for you than smoking tobacco cigarettes.
Correct.
correct.
Yeah. Okay. I appreciate you calling in. So here's my question, because this, for the sake of argument, let us assume, because even though there are more than 400 possible cases of lung-related illness because of this, we don't know. This is according to the CDC. We don't know whether this is black market stuff for vaping or what. But I guess my concern is, let's not go to a break. I want to finish this point. Is addiction of any kind better? Because assuming that, again, for the sake of argument, that vaping from the proper suppliers is not a lung problem, addiction is, even if it's nicotine, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think also we haven't addressed the fact that nicotine itself has a lot of adverse effects, particularly when it comes to the cardiovascular system. So it does increase cardiovascular disease. It increases blood pressure. It decreases blood flow to the heart. So
where's the evidence disconnected from smoking for nicotine doing?
But see, here's my question. But see, here's my thing. Hold on. If you are using the gum or the patch, is the nicotine in that still a question for cardiovascular health?
Yes, it is. But we're using it for a short-term period until the person can quit. Mm. And the majority of the time, if they're working with the proper provider to help them with a plan, they are able to quit successfully.
Why has the FDA approved the nicotine gum for long-term usage by smokers who get off cigarettes? If nicotine is such a danger long-term, why did the FDA change the labeling to say that smokers can use it as long as they need to stay off cigarettes?
Thoughts.
Let me join in and say that the change in smoking over a period of decades, people who responded to the initial call from the Surgeon General to say these are dangerous, they were the easy group. They were able to say, okay, we're changing our minds, we're moving on. And then we're getting groups that are harder and harder for different types of reasons to quit. So we know that the people who are picking up cigarettes today are picking them up with the full knowledge of the dangers. And this is a different group. So there's different things medically that need to happen. And so, yes, you mentioned the term harm reduction, and that is one of those strategies where if there is not today a path for them to be completely tobacco-free, completely nicotine-free, let's look at harm reduction. And so a long-term use of a nicotine gum or another nicotine replacement is one of those. You mentioned the vape as one of those. We know more, and we've said this repeatedly, we know a little bit more about the long-term effects of the other products, and we know less about the vape products. But again, I will make the point that my concern, and as you have said, is for young people. And each caller has mentioned the flavors has been one thing that brought them to this, and it's for their harm reduction. But we can't separate, we can't just prescribe it to the smokers who want to quit.
And I think there are two points here. And this isn't about vaping. This is just about smoking. We have gone, and for those of us of a certain age, you know, we have gone from, the Lucky Strike commercials. 8 out of 10 doctors recommend Lucky Strikes during the, during those magazine commercials that we saw during the, I didn't see them, obviously, World War II, and after that, to, Big Tobacco denying that there were health risks for cigarette smoking until investigative reporting and other things revealed that. And that's when cigarette and smoking labels began to change. And maybe this is a rhetorical question, but if we know that cigarette smoking will kill you and will cause lung cancer, why doesn't the government ban cigarette smoking? And I just find that to be the irony that it has taken so long. And obviously this is about business and tobacco, which historically in the United States has been a big cash crop, perhaps less so now, and that's another conversation about who's picking tobacco. But this And you know, whether you can call it a scare, no matter what you call it, people are scared, Gregory. And it's not just this is a nation, this is an international fear of this, whether because, you know, whether it's black market or what have you. So, you know, what do you believe is going to be the future of this? Because no matter what the people who support you and organizations and vapors, it's coming. It is not coming day by day. It's literally coming hour by hour. Municipalities are dropping legislation. It's too bad we don't do this with gun violence, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I have never seen politicians and elected officials move so quickly, not only to protect children, but to protect people. What are your thoughts about what is happening here? And what do you believe is the future of vaping?
In the approximately 48 days since the lung illnesses broke on the news stations, we've had about 65,000 smokers die. That's what gets lost in this conversation. So what's going to end up happening is that a lot of states are going to make a lot of bad targeted decisions towards far less hazardous products that help smokers quit. And who's going to be laughing in the end? The large tobacco companies. They all have interest, yes, in e-cigarette products. But anything that stops the speeding of the decline of the smoking rate that we've been seeing, we were seeing smoking rates not only falling, but the decline going much faster than historical average. 7% falls is a big one. Then, just this past 4 weeks, no decline, just steady. That's the future. More smoking because of misinformation and because of craven politicians taking advantage of illnesses in order to slap themselves on the back and get on the front page saying that they're protecting children.
Well, then, Dr. Williams, do organizations like the American Cancer Society or the American Heart Association need the Gregory Connolly passion to refute some of these issues when they talk about the health messages?
Well, we definitely have the same passion. We will locally be talking about this on next Thursday with the summit.
Which summit is this?
This is the D.C. Tobacco-Free Summit happening next Thursday here in Washington, D.C., and we will be talking about particularly the flavored products, and we'll go cut across e-cigarette products and regular combustible tobacco products, because we know that that is one of the, we've made lots of progress in tobacco control and getting legislation and policies that help people make the decision to quit. And I do agree that we need to make sure that there may be other effects of these changes that we need to be prepared for and be prepared to receive those smokers into good treatment and support that can get them to the place of being off of the product, off of the nicotine altogether.
Dr. White?
So the AHA, we want to make sure that the public is aware about the e-cigarettes and facts about them and some of the adverse effects that are occurring because of them. And we also continue our efforts to make the public aware of the hazards of tobacco use overall, effective ways of quitting tobacco, some of the things that I have already spoken about, and then also what parents can do to prevent tobacco use among children. So these kids are seeing it everywhere. It's in high schools everywhere. There's a lot of peer pressure, and we are doing a lot of discussion in terms of making sure that your children are aware and they know of the dangers of it.
Let me go back to the phone line. Stuart calling from Minnesota. Stuart, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question for your guests, but before I ask my question, I have a brief statement. I'd like to say that you shouldn't be banning something that has helped over 3 million adult smokers quit based on anecdotal evidence. Jumping to the conclusion that kids are vaping due to flavorings is ridiculous and assumptive logic. I have my own anecdotal evidence that this is a fallacy. I'll present that to you now. I started smoking when I was 16 years old, and when I smoked for 34 years. I'm 58 years old. When I started, there were no flavored cigarettes available. Most adult smokers started as teenagers, and you said earlier in the broadcast that you started as a teenager. So
I was 17, but I was also in college. But my reasons for smoking were, and again, I'm always very transparent about this. My reason for smoking was because my mother smoked, and she found it relaxing. I didn't smoke for the taste. I smoked because I found it relaxing. And to that point, most black folks, anecdotally speaking, smoke Newports or Cools. I didn't like it. I was fancy. I smoked Alfred Dunhill's, but, you know, that's another question.
I'm not even sure what
that's a British cigarette. Anyway, finish your point, Stuart. I'm running out of time, please.
Okay, would you concede to the point that at 17 you were still a teenager?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was. Okay. But I think the issue here is, some teenagers, They may smoke for whatever reason, but it doesn't hurt that when you have something that is candy flavored, that it's going to lure more people in. And I think that is the issue that the governor in New York made and other people are making. But please go ahead. I'll finish your point.
Yeah, to finish my point, kids will experiment regardless of flavors. That's my point. Then to get to my question, because I know I have limited time, I would like to ask of your opposition guests to disclose if any of their funding comes from pharmaceutical sources. The reason I ask this question is because the Truth Initiative, the campaign for tobacco-free kids, are, I know for a fact, are supported financially by donations from pharmaceutical companies. There's conflict of interest everywhere in this.
Okay, well let me start with Dr. Williams because she works for Howard University, so I know where your funding comes from. You know, but Dr. Williams, briefly, please.
So no, personally, I do not have any funding from pharmaceutical companies.
And Dr. Weitch, you know, particularly as it relates to MedStar and the Heart and Vascular Institute?
No, absolutely not.
But the American Heart Association is quite nicely supported by Pfizer and GSK, the makers of the nicotine gum, patch, lozenge, et cetera.
Well, and I think, you know, and Stuart, thank you so much for your phone call. And I will say that this is an argument and a debate that will certainly continue beyond today, and we will not be able to solve it here. However, I do suspect that we will see continued movement on this issue, if not from the e-cigarette companies, as they may continue to push back, this groundswell of governmental action is going to continue. That is certainly clear until we hear more from the CDC and perhaps even beyond. But I want to thank all of you for coming in, Carla Williams, Dr. Carla Williams, Dr. Raquel Weitch, and Greg Connolly. Again, I appreciate you coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Wednesday, September 18th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night.